Today's May 23rd. This week we've got, or today we've got technology news and business news.
We always have technology news. We're prepared. We're prepared for hitting start.
No, we did business news last week. This is government news, and I've immediately forgotten what the other
security news.
There's never enough security. Can I get more security? Is that a
thing? There's never enough security, but we usually have lots of security flaw stories to tell you about.
You have to give up your freedom.
What do you call the security flaw in our society where people are clawing away at more and more of our freedom, where more and more corrupt people are placed into more and more important positions?
That's called an uninformed populace.
So the first thing of uninformedness, if I can get the headline to show, because of the... Yeah,
it's about a guy getting in.
Web designers, what are
you... This is the developer.
There we go. Industry lawyer who's represented Facebook and payday lenders will lead key consumer protection unit despite Democratic outrage. So this is a little bit of a partisan article, but there's some good nuggets of information in here.
Well, this guy was a lawyer, and he's represented, I think it was Facebook, Equifax. There were a couple other companies like that, and they're like, oh, we'll just put him in charge.
But this, it was always after a terrible, terrible scandal.
Yeah.
Like, this is your Johnny Cochran of...
of getting out of terrible
business.
Things.
Yeah, yeah. If something horrible happens, you call this guy in. He's like the wolf from Pulp Fiction.
The headline was, Andrew Smith has an unusual resume for the job, recently representing Facebook, Equifax, and Uber FTC's investigations into the company's data breaches.
The Democrats' quote is, corruption, plain and simple. And I don't think they're wrong. Many of you know the FCC is...
FTC.
Is it the FCTC or did the FCC vote? I don't know. Anyway, if it's true, then the FTC and the FCC are 3-2 Republican-Democrat. And they simply, the Republicans get whatever they want. And they want this guy, even though he seems like maybe the worst choice for the job. Like, I picture this guy as having, like, a little curly mustache that he's always stroking.
Yeah, they don't have a picture of him in the article, which is a bit disappointing. It's just a picture of Zuckerberg.
Well, the way that they address the conflicts from serving on the committee that he's going to be moving to is that he is going to recuse himself from all of the FTC's matters involving former clients, including Facebook and Equifax, which were subjects of the commission's two most high-profile investigations.
In which case, can you really do your job if you're not a part of the biggest parts of your job?
Well, he claims there's so much work the FTC has to do that it won't matter. But I think what's more important is that he shows he's for hire. He's in the pocket of whoever pays him the most, and that's the problem.
Like a Jeep pie seems to be?
Yes.
Yeah, ... question mark?
It's kind of a weird...
It's part of the big candy lobby.
His other client was a payday loan company whose CEO is currently doing 16 years for... breaking the law when doing payday loans.
Sounds like a top-notch integrity, someone who integrity is important to kind of guy.
Can we get some relief from, like, the United Nations or something? Is there some authority that we can appeal to?
Like, they're not corrupt.
Yeah. Is there some organization of non-corrupt, like the Mr. Rogers Association of Not Political Corruptness? Can they get involved?
To get to that level of power, you have to be corrupt.
Well, Homeland Security has decided to do something, like all these cyber attacks and data breaches and all this stuff. Homeland Security has decided to weigh in, and they're going to sort out the mess and do all the plumbing necessary to... Wait, what now? Homeland Security.
It's something trademark, because we don't know what something
is. Yeah, they don't. This whole article, I read the whole thing. Thinking, okay, they're totally going to go into what happens here. I need to know.
And it's a Reuters article. Reuters. Reuters couldn't come up with actually what they're going to do.
There's nothing. It's just, we're going to do something.
I'm pretty sure that this article was written by the Department of Homeland Security. It's
like, just copy paste.
Yeah, exactly. Put your name on this. But the sad thing, I think, here is this is supposed to be our cyber defense. And we've seen what a bang-up job Department of Homeland Security has done with everything else that they've done. So this makes me think that they won't protect us very much, but boy, will they strip away our freedoms.
I can't wait.
I remember a time when the National Institute of Standards was putting out bulletins to be like, here's how you configure group policy. Here's how you secure a Windows server. Here's how you do this. Here's how you do that. And we seem to have forgotten how to do that properly, or at least no one's paying attention to that. Those papers were actually useful for the people that paid attention to them.
Well, listen, that was part of, you know, an intern's job. That intern got fired.
There wasn't enough money for them. We're doing too many other
things. They needed more administrators.
I don't really have a segue for our next story. It's a business story, or it's...
This is basically...
Not really. Sort of, kind of. It's the war on Amazon. I don't know how else to put it.
Well, also Amazon having war on Trump. It's really... This is the equivalent of two 16-year-old girls basically getting their different cliques together to gossip about the other one.
Yeah.
Except it's old men.
Well, Bezos told the Washington Post that Trump was a bully. And so Washington Post wrote that on the bathroom wall. And then Trump got angry about that. So he spray painted that Bezos was a bully on the side of the building. And they're going to fist fight after school.
And so we're reading the bathroom stall is what this article is.
So Trump has personally pushed the Postmaster General to double rates on Amazon and other firms. Because I guess Amazon is not being charged enough for postal stuff to deliver packages, but the Postal Service says, no, we're actually making a lot of money here. But the Postal Service is struggling financially. One of the reasons I think the Postal Service is struggling financially is because they're one of the only organizations in the U.S. that's required to pre-fund their pensions.
There's one line in this article about that, which is brushed right under the rug.
Yeah.
Because that's not the angle the Washington Post wanted to make. They also admit that the Postal Service does charge about $2 a package. It's actually a trade secret. We're not allowed to know, but people have sort of looked at the bottom line and they're like, I bet that's about $2 a package. Whereas with UPS and FedEx, Amazon's probably paying about $4 a package. That's quite a savings. It doesn't get there as quickly, but I think that's what Trump is hung up on, is like, you're doing other business for 50% more, 100% more, and I want those same rates.
I guess. I mean, it just seems like an awfully petty, terrible thing to worry about.
Yeah.
Or Trump doesn't like Bezos, and Bezos doesn't like Trump, and so they're just flinging shit at each other.
The Postmaster General is like, we're very happy with this. This is kind of saving our life. We probably shouldn't buck this system, but Trump is just, you know, he's so single. He's zeroed in on Bezos, and I think he just wants to hurt him anyway.
Is the post office like the younger freshman who is just entering high school and is like, you know, I kind of like going to class and, like, you know, I kind of like Bezos and I kind of like Trump and, you know, I'd like everyone just to be friends. And they're like, no, you have to pick a side.
Honestly, I think the analogy breaks down at that point.
At that point, you
but
know.
I think people get the idea.
It is worth pointing out that the Postmaster General was a letter carrier and has been with the Postal Service for 32 years. And she's just like, I just want to do the Postal Service stuff. Leave me out of this, which seems reasonable.
We get a lot of Amazon boxes here at the office.
We do.
And
we've made Bezos a very rich man.
But the carrier guy, he seems very annoyed sometimes.
Yeah. Well, because it's ingoing and outgoing. Like, yeah. It's just boxes all the time.
Yeah. So
I'm getting a kayak Tuesday, which is today.
Which is coming.
Did you get that from Amazon?
I did.
Did you use somebody else's account so you could get it Prime?
No. It's an inflatable kayak.
Could you have gotten free shipping?
I just said I wanted it later, but it came sooner than I thought it would. It was supposed to come like another week from now, but it was like, oh, it'll be here Tuesday.
You probably looked up our address and was like, we're already shipping 25 things to that address.
Let's just do it. More updates about how well the inflatable kayak does.
The robots are like, yeah, well, we know that one.
Hey, kayaks are technology. We should totally put that on the channel.
It's an inflatable. I guess we can do it. We do a review.
Is it like a... You inflate it with your car? Is it like self-inflating?
It's got a little pump. It'll take forever.
Yeah, that's going to take...
It's going to take at least 10 minutes. You know, I looked up reviews on it.
You got to go and get an add-on item for a little DC motor pump for your car.
That might be easier.
What happens if you hit a sharp rock?
It's made out of pretty strong rubber. Most people say it's fine for like lakes and lazy rivers. When they're like, don't take it on rapids. But it'll be fine for the stuff I'm doing.
Obviously. Maybe you could fill it with foam instead of air. It's slightly more dense than air, but nothing bad would happen if it was punctured.
What if somebody is on the shoreline sniping you with an airsoft?
You have to worry about that now. I mean, level one and 4chan, I mean, come on.
They're going to follow me out to, like, the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Good luck finding me in Eastern Kentucky.
Challenge you just rolled mode. It down.
Huh?
It's like they don't provoke the board. Challenge.
I miss you. I don't think that they're going to find it.
Oh, she's doubling down.
I mean, you could try.
She knows not what she says. Congress's latest move to extend copyright protection is misguided. So this is in Wired. I've read a couple versions of this article, and one of the versions of this article says that Congress trying to bring alignment to what is happening with, like, dead tree copyright versus online copyright. But this seems like they're moving it to, they're trying to extend copyright. This reads like they're trying to extend copyright again, and so I didn't really get what the distinction was.
Well, this is just for digital stuff. And it's like lifetime plus some crazy number for digital things. But the Wired went back and they looked at the previous times that copyright was extended. And the first time they did the copyright extension, it went to the Supreme Court. And this is the one about Milton Friedman. He made him put some, like, crazy wording in there to make it obvious to the Supreme Court that this was a terrible idea. But the Supreme Court, part of their ruling was, they're like, we're going to do this, and obviously after we do this, this should never have to happen again. Like, this is kind of crazy, but we're going to go ahead and do it. We should never have to do it again. And then they did another one, and they talked about, like, equilibrium, which is what you're talking about, like bringing them all together. But bringing them all together meant moving up all the ones that weren't.
Yeah.
So the worry here is we're going to move up this digital one, and a couple of years from now we're going to come back and be like, oh, equilibrium.
So I think one of the things that would happen with equilibrium is, like, let's say, you know, Moby Dick, which is out of copyright, I think, if somebody republishes and reformats that digitally, then a new copyright would apply, which seems like, no, why would you do that? That's terrible.
They've also brought up that, in this article, the copyright extensions have had an eerie correlation to the times when Mickey Mouse was about to go into public domain.
Hmm. So what you're saying, like, from the story in our first episode of the news, what you're saying is that Disney gets its knickers in a twist and all of a sudden starts manipulating our decision-making ability to make it seem like we have to extend copyright or the sun is going to fall out
Listen,
of orbit.
Listen, that cartoon mouse
the Earth
is important.
Fall out of orbit of the sun, I guess.
That is not what I'm saying. But it might be what Wired is saying.
Wired, we need some Congress people that understand copyright, first of all, because life of the author plus 70 years is plenty. It is beyond plenty. We haven't extended patents. Patents are still 20 years, and if you look at, like, the 3D printing takeoff thing, that's because key patents on that expired. But life of the author plus 70 on patents, everybody will have forgotten everything, and that will just be dumb and terrible. So it's already like that with copyrights. There's no reason, like, it should not be possible for you to pirate Windows 3.1. Windows 3.1 should be out of copyright at this point.
Why would you want to?
Don't bring logic into this.
Well, I think they do mention that the digital streaming companies are a big hand here, because a lot of those songs that would be totally free that are part of their catalogs, they'd have to go in and figure out what's what, and, you know, and they don't want to do that. So
that sounds like a lot of work.
Woo! Well, switching gears. Rogers, TELUS, and Bell sell access to your location data to third-party companies. So these are telephone providers in Canada.
If you were confused about who the hell are these people.
And they're saying, no, we've got your informed explicit consent is always required to share your location. So you have to explicitly opt in to share your location. But then, so you can opt out then, presumably, right?
But then you call them, and then they're like, oh, we're not going to answer that.
And this is InStream, which is the same people who sold the data that was in the Securus story last week.
Oh, and we've got a follow-up this week. Ooh, boy, howdy.
Yeah, and so Canada has a little bit better version of this, a little bit safer, but essentially the same thing is going on in Canada, basically, is the story here.
Guess what? If you're in Canada, you opted in and didn't realize it.
The Mounties didn't protect you.
No.
Your bagged milk didn't protect you.
The bagged milk did.
You thought it would save you with its vitamin D in a bag.
Do you think that Facebook Canada knows if you drink regular milk or bagged milk?
Would it just make the assumption?
Not only does it know if you're in China, your social score goes up or down, depending.
How do you think that would go?
It would go down.
Good or bad, though?
Down, for sure.
Isn't that good for the environment?
Yeah.
Because the container is less...
Less plastic.
Good for the environment, bad for the economy. Therefore, negative social score.
Okay.
card breach has been announced at Chili's. I really want to do a joke about baby back ribs, but I got...
Is it them who does baby back ribs?
Yeah.
Is it Chili's?
Well, they did that commercial.
I thought that was Outback Steakhouse.
Well, they all do, but Chili's had the, you know, the song in the commercial. Do you know the song?
Maybe. I think so.
Wendell.
Chili's baby back ribs. I want my baby back.
Chili's. So if you've been to Chili's lately, you paid with a credit card, bad news. It's weird because they, even in this article, this is from Bleeping Computer, they're like, we're not sure what got into Chili's because this just happened and they reported it and you're supposed to wait 6 months for that. But they won't say which restaurants were affected, which is interesting.
Barbecue sauce. I don't know. It's just more companies not protecting our data.
Well, do people go to Chili's still?
Apparently.
I've never been to a Chili's.
I'm amazed that you've never been to a Chili's.
Never been to one.
I predict that millions of people will be affected by this because a lot of people go to Chili's.
Yeah, it was malware in the systems that were processing the credit cards. Same old story.
Also, a big headline this week, but we'll tell you right now, is clickbait. Is encrypted email has a major flaw, major divisive flaw. So this is the PGP S/MIME vulnerability that has been reported everywhere. It's not, the sky is not falling. It's just some email clients are dumb.
Yeah, they have. It's not the encryption standard itself, which is bad. It is the implementation of it. So you should look into this if you're using one of those to see if yours is bad. ProtonMail has a good blog post about this that kind of explains why it's not the end of the world and what might be wrong with your implementation of it.
Basically, if there's certain types of content in the encrypted message that you receive, when your client decrypts the message as a result of loading content linked to in the message, you could accidentally share the plain text of that message with the site that you're loading the content from, depending on how the message deals with that sort of content. But ProtonMail and some other clients don't actually load content from servers out on the internet, like images or whatever, when it's decrypted. And so, not a problem in that scenario.
There's also old versions of PGP might not be compatible with what you're using. And a lot of these clients are designed to just like, you know what, just show them the plain text because this is not going to work. And if we tell people it doesn't work, they might get upset and not use PGP anymore. So, they gave the recommendation. I can't remember who it was that first announced this, but they were like, you should immediately stop encrypting your email. And a lot of people were like, oh, I'm not sure if that's what we should have told people.
I missed that recommendation. My brain just filtered that out because if I'd read that, I might have had an aneurysm because that's so dumb. Mexican banks have had a bad week. Thieves have snuck millions out of Mexican banks in a transfer heist. So I tried to understand mechanically what happened here. It looked like the thieves created a bunch of wire transfer accounts. Some of them were canceled, but most of them went through.
They think that might have been an inside job because they got into, it's not called SWIFT, but it's basically Mexican SWIFT. And
a private banking network that is not otherwise on the internet.
Yes. And so they managed to do a ton of transactions, and they had mules waiting at the banks to withdraw in cash right after the transaction was made.
So many pesos.
Yeah, interbank transfers. So these weren't like to individuals. And they talk about how it didn't affect any individual depositors. It was somehow the transaction coming from, I think, the Mexican Central Bank.
Wow.
So really high-level crime here.
They literally robbed the Mexican Central Bank.
Impressive.
And not any individuals. That's a modern day, whatever that guy was that wouldn't rob the individual.
Robin Hood.
Yeah.
Robin Hood.
No, not Robin Hood. There was a bank robber that would not rob from mortgage accounts and stuff in the 1800s.
Oh, I don't know.
I can't remember.
It's like Robin Hood, but they probably just kept the money for themselves.
Maybe they were poor.
Maybe they were.
This seems like a organized crime or a cartel type of thing because it required a lot of access and a lot of knowledge about the system.
And a lot of planning. I wonder if we'll get a movie about it, like Pedro's 11 or something.
Pedro's 11. What's the word for ocean? Azul is blue, right? I don't know the word for ocean.
Forget scanning license plates. Cops will soon track you and ID you via your roof rack. So, you get the feeling, I don't think they quite come out and say it in the article here, but you get the feeling that license plate tracking makes certain people uneasy. And so the vision systems are so good on this. It's like, no problem. We're going to track you based on the minute differences of your, you know, particular car versus another particular car. What options you have, bumper stickers, other minor physical differences in your car versus the same make, model, year, and color of the car for somebody else.
Yeah, these cameras are so good. Bumper stickers, they can recognize individual bumper stickers, roof racks, that type of thing, bike racks. But also, as they're cruising through, they're still scanning the license plates. But they're also getting information about the car just based on its shape. So it's like, that's a box van, that's a sedan, that's a truck. And they're sending all that back to the database.
What about my 22s?
The gun rack?
Gun rack. A gun rack in your car?
Well, how did you know it was me? You're not supposed to be scanning the license plates. It's like, well, we knew it was you because, you know, your left front tire is out of alignment. You've got the Bernie sticker and... you've got the gun rack the on
Bernie
your back.
Sticker. The Bernie sticker. I don't let Bernie stickers merge.
That would be cool. Maybe we could make a thing of selling peel and stick bumper stickers so that every time you get in your car, you could just like rearrange the bumper stickers. No. And
wasn't there those other stickers that AI confusing scrambles stickers? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We need to get that'd some of those perfect. You can just put in the middle of your license plate.
Although, wouldn't that single you out as like... the one outlier in the database.
If we sell enough of them on store.level1text.com. And then everyone buys one.
They need to be magnetic instead of sticky so that you can remove and rearrange them so that there's not just one pattern.
We could have more than one sticker. So you switch the number of stickers, just like the number of screws on the desk.
Has LCD technology gotten good enough that we could replace the license plate with an LCD screen that just changes periodically?
What happens if
Dubai? Did that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
What happens if like a rock or something flies up and hits it? Isn't that expensive to replace?
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Oh, but these cameras are side mounted. These are meant to shoot beside the car, so I don't think it's that much of a risk.
Well, bad news in security world this week. Cisco announced that they've got another hard-coded password again in their enterprise management software. This time, it's in the center, Cisco. What was this? It was actually two or three different Cisco DNA Center, but there was another subcomponent of DNA Center, and they all had hard-coded passwords.
Well, the DNA control panel has the hard-coded password, and there's two other systems. One of them has an open port problem. And one of them has a URL bypass problem.
But the article is quick to say, well, let's not criticize Cisco.
They gave us a lot of money to post this, so.
The researchers found a backdoor account in Juniper software that could decrypt VPN traffic. Cisco decided to hunt and root out any similar backdoors before attackers found them first. The problem is, one of the worst personnel records hacks on the government was the Office of Personnel Management, the OPM hack. That was really bad because it's like all the government employees are fingerprints, all 9 yards, which is, you know, in this time of, you know, adversarial Russia, China, whatever, it's really sort of bad news. That happened not because of the Juniper Zero Day. It happened because nobody patched it. Nobody's going to patch this.
But if you want to, there's already a patch. So you definitely should. And this was... it's weird that they're like, let's be easy on Cisco, because literally the Juniper thing, after they were like, oh God, we should probably go and audit all of our software just to make sure. And that's how they found this.
Yeah. So this was not a security researcher finding this, which is good, I guess. But
they should have done this in the first place.
Yeah. How does this even happen? So I think this is probably also going to be bad news for Cisco on the international market. But mark my words, there's going to be another OPM hack, and you're going to see us reporting on, you know, like Equifax 3.0. I don't know how it gets worse than Equifax, which is like literally every citizen. Maybe it's like, you know, I don't know. We've got the imagery from your last colonoscopy on the internet, and that's how it got worse.
Does anyone want that, though?
And it's going to be because of this Cisco thing.
How do you use colonoscopy records to do targeted advertising on Facebook?
Do you blackmail people?
That's for the AI to figure out.
If you don't do meet my demands, I will release your colonoscopy.
Colonshots.com?
We should register that.
It probably already is about registered.
Yeah, it's probably a totally different kind of website.
Facebook also freaked some people out because the Facebook Android app started asking for super user privileges. So yeah, check out, I don't know if you can see the pop-up or
it's
not.
It's so small.
Facebook is like, I need super user access and root access, which is normally completely disabled on Android
Facebook
devices.
Talk? Can you do Facebook's voice again?
I need root access.
Yeah, that's the voice of the youth of America.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
Everybody keeps telling me that Facebook kids don't use it anymore.
Not many. I know a few, but not many.
I like how it's like, I need this access forever.
Is there like the drop down? Is it just like forever, always? Like, it's just variants on forever.
So it turns out this only happens on devices that have been rooted. Because normally applications can't even request this type of a permission because this type of permission is just disabled. You just can't. And but on rooted phones, rooted Android phones, you totally can. So somehow this got left in accidentally because I guess there's a library or something that Facebook looks for rooted phones and behaves differently on rooted phones, which should be a red flag. So,
well, the fact that the app is called Facebook, that's your first red flag. They did a press release about this response, and they were like, this was a mistake. Facebook does not need or want super user access, which is a lie. They want it.
They want it, but they don't ask for it.
They want it because they can make a few bucks on it.
They can make a lot of bucks on it.
This is, what, the 10th week in a row we've reported on this?
The bad news train for Intel just keeps on chugging.
There were a couple weeks where like we didn't report on it, but it was still happening.
Yeah.
This is so bad. We are working on it. It's fine. We're working on a totally separate like news special report on this. And it's the new Spectre attack can reveal even firmware secrets. Now, so this is an ex-Intel security expert. So the story here is this guy worked for Intel to keep an eye out for these kind of things. No longer works for Intel, founded a startup, and immediately identified some of the stuff that he was supposed to be looking for while he worked at Intel.
Well, it's not necessarily, he's not identified something new, but he took one of the Spectre variants and looked at it and he was like, you know what? This could be much worse if I just change this a little bit. And sure enough, he was able to make it far, far worse.
To explain how much worse it is, you have to understand a little bit about how the system management module and like, you know, the Intel management engine stuff works. And so like, you know, you've got your 8 or 16 gigabytes of RAM or whatever. There's a tiny little piece of memory that's reserved for the CPU to do its like internal low-level stuff. Like you're booting and you're doing stuff in the UEFI, you got your operating system. That's all running on the CPU. But there's other stuff running on the CPU that's an even lower level than that. Stuff to do with like managing the physical, you know, like fan controllers and hardware interfaces and managing the voltage into the CPU and just all kinds of really, really super low-level stuff. The system management module. That's what they're able to take control of, and that's really bad news because if you've got control of that, if you can leak information out of that, if you can get keys, privileges, whatever, then you can start doing things like modifying the flash memory as it exists on other stuff on the motherboard and install a permanent rootkit. It's an intelligence agency's wet dream. It really is.
Yeah, this is all about setting a register to outside where it normally should. So I think a good analogy here is, imagine if someone hacked your car and then used that to change the locks on your garage door.
Imagine if somebody hacked your car, used that to change the locks on your garage door to suffocate you. That is the capabilities.
And then started the car.
Yeah. We found the darkest timeline.
This is literally the darkest timeline. And, Intel knew, let's not forget that Intel knew about Spectre and Meltdown a year before they were public. And, you know, at first I was thinking maybe Intel was just screwing around, not really doing anything. And now I'm starting to think that it's so bad that they realized this and they were working on ways to mitigate this and they haven't figured it out. It's so bad.
Well, their response to this was, hey, we've already fixed Spectre. Just apply those fixes. And yeah, this is bad, but just go do what we told you to do and everything's going to be fine. So they didn't really, they kind of brushed this one aside.
Yeah, I don't know. This is not the last we've seen of this because there's going to be a lot of hardware. Like the OPM hack, there's going to be a lot of hardware that is just never updated. really
yeah. Terrible. And you can do this. You can do the hypervisor with this. So think about getting an Amazon instance, using that to take control
of Netflix,
of the parent computer, and changing the firmware in the Amazon data center. Think about that.
That is completely insane. You know that the intelligence services, all of them, ours included, are working on that right now. It's just a race against the clock. It may already be too late. They may have already known. That's the scary part. They may have already known. Because, it's just, good luck sleeping tonight.
That's true every night, regardless of the news.
Do you think we'll get it first, or will China get it first? Or what about Russia?
We'll find out in my night terrors soon. Well, we reported last week on your phone location data stuff was being sold and blah, blah, blah. There's a follow-up for that. A hacker has provided Motherboard with the login details for a company that buys phone location data from major telecom companies and then sells it to law enforcement. This is, of course, the Securus company that we reported on last week. They've been hacked, and they're downplaying how badly they've been hacked. But by golly, this Motherboard article makes it seem like it's like about 11 out of 10 bad in terms of like the hacking.
I like the title for this article because they're like, this hacker gave us this information. Like it was they're on the ground floor. You know what I mean? Like,
well, it's pretty common for hackers to reach out to.
Yeah.
They love the attention.
Motherboard likes it too, though.
They're kind of big, yeah. Yeah. So.
The databases, they've at least got all the users and their passwords, hash passwords, although it looks like they were using unsalted MD5, and in the spreadsheet, whoever hacked them had already broken a number of those passwords. Now, Motherboard didn't test that because that would be a felony, but they did use the recover password tool that's on the Securus website, and bad design decision. Your recover password should not return an error if that email doesn't exist in the system. Because Oops. Then people can fish and figure out, and sure enough, that's what Motherboard did. And they were like, oh, this list is real.
Yeah.
This guy isn't lying to us.
Well, the response from Securus to Motherboard was to kind of downplay and say, well, we had some, but it wasn't really a big deal. But what Motherboard did shows that it's true. So just to reiterate, Securus has real-time location information from cell phones, from a bunch of different providers, and they sell access to that. And they're about as secure as a wet paper bag.
Yeah, we had some comments on last week of the people who, and they're like, you know, I work in this industry. I work for a competitor, and I'm amazed that Securus even is able to get this to work because it seems like everybody there is a moron.
Ouch.
Wet paper bag confirmed.
So yeah, I don't know if they're publicly traded, but if they are, maybe time to short.
They're going to change their name and become another company. Maybe they'll become like Blackwater Data Security or something.
But Securus is such a good name.
Cerberus Data Solutions. I've known. No inside knowledge other than this is really depressing. I wonder if we could call our providers and be like, I want to opt out of this location service.
No, I don't think we have that.
No.
We have that protection?
Yeah. Of course, the Canada story we talked about was not Securus, but they are buying from the same people that Securus is buying for. So even if Securus goes out of business, the underlying problem is still going to be there. Somebody's going to fill that gap.
The underlying problem of your cell phone company is allowed to sell all of your data that they possibly can with no oversight.
And there is some company making a killing aggregating that data.
God, if only there was some company in the free market that didn't want to just sell all of your data for all of its worth. Or we had some kind of free market economy that would have a company that could actually thrive in that environment.
So it sounds like you're making a segue, but there's no other article after this one.
Well, but see, that company would have too much integrity to put someone like a Jeep Pie into government to give them an unfair advantage so they could never survive.
Yeah, they would slowly be conglomerated or assimilated or bought out or whatever because they're always at an economic disadvantage because they're not cheating. What an allegory.
Anyway, that's the end of the news. So if you're feeling thoroughly depressed, you can wait till Friday's news, which is going to be nonsense.
Yes, we will pick you up. And if you're really, really depressed, you can join our Patreon and get that hit of nonsense right now, and you'll be happy again.
Oh,
that's right. Use your money to buy happiness.
Also, just the natural endorphins of giving us money.
You can also check out store.level1text.com. So Should be good. Oh, and the KVMs will be back in stock in like 2 to 3 weeks. So we'll probably announce on the news. So yay, KVMs.
And on Twitter.
It is a larger shipment this time. So hopefully we will sell them in a reasonable time frame and not be stuck with more KVMs than we can use 3 years from now.
I think we've had enough requests about the KVMs. I think we'll be fine.
That turned out better than expected.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you guys later.